Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are indeed diving right into it. Not a lot to dive into. It's a very shallow pool of sports today.
Tell that to us from 4 months ago.
That, you know what? Sometimes you need perspective. You just gave it to me. I appreciate you, Scraby, because about a couple months ago, We were swimming in a pool with no water.
I think we were
sports.
Yeah, so I think we were our hard hitting topic was why is Scraby stuck in the friend zone? That's what we were talking about 4 months ago.
Man, those were dry times, man. So dry. So thankful to have some sports back in our life. 4:01 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. Matt Scraby sitting in for Chris L. I wanted to, before we get into this Gwynn versus the Fan, I wanted to run through some of these awards that were given out today because there was a new one. They're honoring Hall of Famer Andre Dawson won the first Curt Flood Award given to a former player, living or deceased, who in the image of Flood demonstrates a selfless, longtime devotion to the Players Association and an advancement of player rights. Andre Dawson wins that award. Here we go. Let's run through this list. AL Outstanding Player went to Jose Abreu of the Chicago White Sox. AL Outstanding Pitcher went to Shane Bieber. That's not Justin's brother or related cousin or anything, but they do share the same last name. AL Outstanding Rookie went to Kyle Lewis of the Seattle Mariners. Padres got a chance to see him a couple different times. AL Comeback Player of the Year went to Carlos Carrasco. If you remember, Carrasco missed parts of last season as he underwent cancer treatment. He bounced back this year, went 3-4 with a 2.91 ERA and 12 starts, and passed Charlie Nagy and CeCe Sabathia early win and Bob Lemon to move into fourth place on the franchise career strikeout list. NL Outstanding Player went to Freddie Freeman.
He
was another one that, if you believe his words, he thought he was in trouble because he contracted the COVID-19 before the season started, and he certainly was one of the reasons this team had a terrific run this year. He wins the NL Outstanding Player. These are all Player Choice Awards, by the way, so picked by their peers. Of course, we just talked about this gentleman, Trevor Bauer, won the NL Outstanding Pitcher Award. And as we mentioned earlier, NL Outstanding Rookie of the Year went to Jake Cronenworth.
The Crone Zone.
Yeah, hit 369 for 25 in 8 games at first base while filling in for Eric Hosmer, then settled into a productive role as a regular second baseman, and Cronenworth led National League rookies with 26 runs, 22 extra base hits, 15 doubles, and 82 total bases, and ranked second in hits, walks, RBIs, OPS. He finished ahead of Devin Williams, reliever for the Brewers, and Alec Baum from the Philadelphia Phillies. And the NL Comeback Player of the Year went, at least player choice-wise, went to Daniel Bard, who hadn't pitched at all. Since 2017,
I shouldn't do that.
Will Myers finished second in the vote there, behind Mr. Daniel Bard, and Adam Duvall finished third. So I just wanted to run that by you guys, just kind of let you know what the Players Awards was about. Now, of course, the writers still have their awards coming out. I believe that happens after the World Series, and usually, or at least the last couple of years, they've been trying to make it like a, you know, kind of a Grammy type feel where guys show up. I don't think they'll obviously be able to do that this year, but those awards will come at the end of when the World Series is done. All right. Without further ado, I think we got a Gwynn versus the fans coming up. Scrape, take us away.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into Chris versus the fans, I just want to say, stream your favorite fan talk show on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. And today...
That's what you wanted to say?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't know really know how to bring that up. I mean, I just guess I'll awkwardly say it.
I just want to say...
I just want to say, here's the commercial. you guys are playing for today in Gwynn vs. the Fan, a Padres prize pack that includes a Padres hat, a fleece blanket, a mask, and a tote bag, courtesy of the San Diego Padres. Just think about the times we're in. We're giving away masks as prizes, and, yeah.
Don't remind people.
Sorry. It's a cool mask, though.
It is. I mean, if since we got to rock them, you might as well rock them in style. And why not have a Padre one? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. So let's get started here.
It's kind of a rhetorical question. You didn't have to actually answer. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Tony gets the question right, you're eliminated. But if Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. There's more sports questions today for this, so not so much of a potpourri. And I wanted to get started with Cindy in Vista. Cindy, how are you?
Hi, Cindy.
Hey, I'm good.
All right, have you ever played before?
I played one time before.
Okay. I was just making sure we didn't have a first-time player. But here we go. Question number one. Doug Peterson is the head coach for what NFL football team?
Oh, crud. Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, that's close. That is really close. Tony, do you know?
I believe it is the Philadelphia Eagles.
It is the Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry, Cindy. Call back tomorrow. Thank you for playing. Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, I believe they're very well connected with each other. So
I think you're right.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant, Jose. Jose, how are you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good, good.
Perfect. All right. Let's get started here. Question number one. Someone you'll see on TV tonight, DeSean Jackson, has played for three teams in his career. Name two of those three.
Oh, crap. Who's even playing tonight? Can I get the teams that are playing tonight?
I can't give you that information, Jose.
You
got one right, though.
Game. It was NFC East, I remember that. Let's just go with the Giants.
It's all right, though. Stay there.
So close. He did play for another NFC East team. However, that was the Washington Redskins.
It was.
And obviously the Eagles.
And then do you have a third? You're already right. So thank you, Jose. Try again tomorrow.
The third team he played for was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He did. He did, and he was kind of awful for them. So I don't know why I decided to take a shot at him, but
yeah, I don't know either, but you do that time to time. Right. I don't understand it.
Let's go to Adam. Adam, are you ready
to go?
Adam,
what's up, man?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Which team broke the curse of the Bambino with their 2004 World Series win?
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
Beautiful.
That is correct. I felt like it was too much to talk about the goat that was left for the Cubs. So,
yeah,
I didn't. All right, here we go, Adam. Question number two. Yvonne Rodriguez won a World Series with what team?
Oh, man. I know he played his whole career for the Rangers, but I don't. I'm going to say the Tigers.
The Tigers. But stay there. Stay there. Tony might not know this. Tony?
I only remember this because they took down the Giants in the first round of this year, and he, like, held the ball up like it was, like, it was the Marlins, I believe.
The Marlins is correct. Thank you, Adam. Man, what do we got? Chris over here? Jeez.
You know what? I've been pretty good these
you have.
Last couple days.
You guys are killing me.
I talked it up like I was going to be terrible, but I've actually been decent. By the way, these are like questions 1 and 2. I should be okay in this category.
Yeah, but you guys are killing me. I'm going to have to start making up trivia like just because I'm running out of questions from the real world. So
yeah,
let's like go to Francisco, not Mejia. How are you, Francisco?
Francisco, welcome
to the
show.
Man?
All right.
Recovering still, man, but we're here.
He's still hungover for the Padres. I love it.
I ended up going to the World Series game one, recovering from that. I was going to blew off the Dodgers, man.
Oh, you went to the game. Wow, that's pretty
what
cool.
Was, hey, real quick, since we got you, what was it like in the building?
It was a whole lot of Dodger fans. There were some Rays fans. I found maybe 10 Padres fans, and, man, it was electric. Even with just 4% of the capacity there, it was – I mean, it's the World Series, you know? It's definitely
awesome.
Different, but still the World Series.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Cool. That's really cool. Well, let's hope you get this Padres prize pack so the next time you go to the World Series, you have all this stuff to wear, okay? Let's get going.
Let's
Question number one. Which baseball team won its third straight World Series title in the year 2000?
Third straight World Series.
Just think dominant teams.
Let's go with the Yankees.
Oh, the Yankees. Tony's giving me sour
Are you
face
just, like,
right
giving
now.
Giving out answers now, Scraby? Is that how this is
I
working?
Mean, he knew that. He knew that. Come on.
I'm giving you a hard time.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know. All right, Francisco, here we go. Question number two. It's a potpourri question. Who was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean solo?
Is it Amelia Earhart?
Look at
it
you,
sure
Francisco.
Is Amelia
Go
Earhart.
Ahead, man.
Wow, I love it. I love it. Very, very interesting story with Amelia Earhart. So I'm knee-deep in some conspiracies on her.
Right now. Of course you are.
Yes, I'm knee-deep in where she is. She lived, by the way. That's what we're going
to
go
Let's
with.
Let's get to question number
okay,
three.
Okay, question number three.
Please.
All right, Francisco, for the Padres prize pack. Who is the 1995 MVP of the World Series between the Indians and the Braves?
95. Honestly, I don't know, but let's go with Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones.
Stay there. Stay there. Not sure if Tony knows this one.
This was the only year that they won, I feel like, right? 95?
Sure.
Didn't they win a title that year?
Sure.
Let's go with... Johnny Smoltz.
Johnny Smoltz is incorrect. Francisco wins the prize pack. It is Tom Glavine.
I knew it had to be one of the
All right, Francisco,
monsters.
Stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold on.
Congratulations,
get you in the break.
Francisco.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Man, that's got to be pretty sweet, man. He went to the World Series.
Yeah.
You know.
And now he gets a Padres prize pack. Francisco is a good player. He's called a lot, and I'm sorry to say he hasn't had much success until now. So,
well, that man gave him his prize.
I will.
He had some success this time. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, even though Chris isn't here, we still got to continue our game. NFL, Gwen and Chris, NFL pick 'em.
4:20 on the clock, Gwen and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. It is Thursday. We are leading up to Thursday Night Football. My name is Scravy. Chris is on vacation. Tony's at home doing his thing from the Zoom room, I'm going to call it right here.
The Zoom room.
The Zoom room. Too bad we didn't come up with that until just now because we're all headed back to studio soon, I believe, but... What we're going to do right now, if you've heard anything about or if you've listened to this show for the last couple years, it's one of Chris's favorite segments. It's one of Tony's favorite segments. And it's Gwynn and Chris, NFL Pick'em.
Okay, NFL fans, it's time for NFL Pick'em. But not like boring Pick'em like all the other sports radio shows. We see who's the best in Gwynn versus Chris. NFL Pick'em Edition on 97.3, The Fan, The Fan, The Fan.
All right, so each week, Tony and Chris pick against each other, against the spreads, and there's a three-point pick, a two-point pick, and a one-point pick, and they alternate, and they cannot pick the same team. So Chris is going to go first. I'm playing Chris today. The score is Chris 43, Tony 33. Is that because of the 49ers losing to the Dolphins?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your 49ers.
I cannot believe still that they lost to the Dolphins, but whatever. That was a 9-point turnaround, I think, right? Something like that.
I don't care.
I don't care, he says. All right, we're going to go first. Chris is going to go first, and he is going to take the Buffalo Bills for his 3-point pick. Now Tony is up.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's wrong?
You know, you got me looking at this odd sheet. They have so many different odds.
I know. Chris didn't give us the odds before he left, so we're trying to guess.
So I'm going. I assume that that's the 13 pick, the 13 point favorite, right?
The Buffalo Bills, yes.
Okay, so that's not the first one in line. That is like the third one in line. All right, so my next pick then. I will then take the Kansas City.
By the way, the Bills were over the Jets, so that's why Chris went there.
No, I understand why he went there. I'm just trying to figure out the spread. One of them said the spread was 2.5. This one says 12, 13. So we're going with the 13. That's probably why he picked it.
What idiot of a sports book has a 2.5 point spread?
I don't know. Opening. Let's go with the Kansas City Chiefs on the road taking down the Denver, not the Nuggets, but the Broncos.
All right.
I wanted to say Nuggets, so yeah. I just said it out loud to get it out the way.
All right. The Kansas City Chiefs. So the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs are off the board. Over to Chris's 2-point pick, and he is going to pick. Oh, he says that he would like the New Orleans Saints over the Carolina Panthers.
Figured that's where he was going next.
Tony's up for his 2-point pick.
So, in my 2-point pick, we will counter that and take the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow.
I was going to say at home, but it's at their neutral site. Oh, no, they're in a new building, so it is at their home now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they take it down Jacksonville. I think that they're up their favorite 9.5. I like that pick. That's my 2-point pick.
That's a lot for Jacksonville. 9.5 points? I mean, I might take that bet, actually. Over to the 1-point pick, and the last one that Chris has on his list is he's going to take the Rams over the Bears for his 1-point pick.
That stinks.
Is that where you're going
next?
That's
the Monday nighter right there.
That is. And by the way, they flexed Seattle in Arizona night.
Because I saw that. They can flex Sunday games. They can't flex Thursday night games, unfortunately.
No, but they said they did it because they were bracing for the Raiders to have to cancel a game. So that's why they moved it to the
all
afternoon.
All five of their offensive linemen went on the COVID list.
Correct.
Not good. All right. He took the Rams. Ooh, man, these next ones are tough. Give me Seattle.
Over the Cardinals.
Over the Cardinals. That's my 1-pointer.
Where is that game?
Seattle.
It's in Seattle.
No,
okay.
Arizona. You know what? If that's the case, I'm changing. No, I'm not. I'm staying with Seattle.
Staying with Seattle. Okay, so the upset pick now is the last thing that we have to pick. And you get the points that they're favored or they're not favored by. So I'm not a better if you can't tell. but Chris is picking the Cincinnati Bengals for 3 points over the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I can do better than that.
Ooh, trash talk.
I can do better than that, and I will take the Chicago Bears on Monday night to take down the Rams.
Wow. Chicago Bears. What's that spread?
I got that's six.
Six. Okay. That you got to start coming back. So you need.
I got to start making a dent in this 10-point lead. Yes.
All right. So for 3-point picks, Chris has the Buffalo Bills. Tony has the Chiefs. For 2-point picks, Chris has the Saints. Tony has the Chargers. For 1-point pick, Chris has the Rams. Tony has the Seahawks. And for the upset picks, Chris has the Bengals at -3. Tony has the Bears at -6. So that's it for this week of Gwynn versus Chris NFL Pick'em Edition. Again, Chris leads 43-33, so Tony has to make up some ground.
Yes, I do. Again, getting my butt kicked. But, you know, in the last couple years, I've had big leads and have squandered it at the end. So here's hoping that I can somehow find a way to win. All right, let's step away, take a break. When we come back, we have our Big Five. It's also our last segment. Remember, Thursday Night Football, the juggernaut, Giants, Eagles, coming up right after our show. But first, we got a Big Five. Stay tuned. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
The crack of the bat, the call from the umpire, the smell of peanuts and hot dogs.
Gone for Manny, gone the tie, 2-1 San Diego.
97.3 The Fan is the home of the San Diego Padres.
Ball going, and that is ball gone. Home run! E-Hustler, car rush!
Catch every single Padres game right here on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station.
This lineup, this team has the goods.
97.3 The Fan.
This is Tiki Barber with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I know that Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns, doesn't want to care. He likes being the chillest dude in the room, you know, the one without any worries. And given his success on the football field, his star power, and his money, he can afford to do that. Except when it starts to disrupt those around him, including his alma mater, LSU, who just self-imposed penalties for recruiting violations and separately banned Odell for 2 years following his post-championship gaffe of handing out cash to players. Let's not forget his current team, though, the Cleveland Browns, who are probably scratching their heads after OBJ publicly stated that the coronavirus wants no part of him because of mutual respect. Who kids about a pandemic that has killed so many people? Odell is such a good player, and in reality, a great guy. He just needs to learn to care a little bit more. I'm Tiki Barker.
Hey, sports fans, Ultimate Insider John Anthony's back, and I'm on fire to prove that I'm releasing the entire week absolutely free on the recorded message line. Call 1-800-814-9317.
4:32 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scrady sitting in for Chris Ellis. This hour is brought to you by San Diego BMW Center. Through November 2nd, lease a 2020 BMW X5 S-Drive 40i. For $669 a month for 36 months with $5,094 due at signing. Contact a San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. We got a Big Five coming. We also have some traffic coming, but I do believe we have a call on the line. Sean, welcome to Gwynn and Chris, man. What's on your mind?
Good, guys, good. Hey, Tony, I had a question. I wonder why you didn't pick the 49ers, even though the 49ers are going to beat the Patriots this week. Jimmy G is going to have a great game. George Kittle is going to break Dick's record for most receiving yards by tight end in the first half of the season. I'm just wondering, I'm sensing every time I've been hearing you talk about the 49ers the last couple of days, it's almost as if there's some animosity because they lost to the caveman who played for the Dolphins.
Sean, I love the call. I love the call.
Sean, your man's grave is filling your call. First, thanks for calling. And secondly, I looked at them today, actually as an upset pick, but the numbers weren't big enough for it to, you know, make a dent in the lead that I'm trying to catch Chris in. So it was a strategic matter. And in all honesty, I really don't mind the Niners that much, but it's so much fun to give Scraby the business that I can't resist sometimes. Now, Chris, on the other hand, I think he really can't stand the Niners.
I agree with you.
He despises the Niners.
I think he despises them.
I'm just playing. I just like to play with Scraby and get on his nerves a little bit. That's really it. So thanks for the phone call. Let's check traffic here from Kelly Danick.
Well, let's just go into the Big Five. It's not quite ready yet. We're having problems with traffic today, so.
Boom.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Quinn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. We have very little time, so let's get going.
Number five.
Lots of good stuff to talk about. And if you have any Big Five topics, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Scraby. You can find Tony at Tony Quinn Jr. We talked about Antonio Brown possibly making his way back to the NFL in just a few weeks, so why not bring up some more names from the past? According to Ian Rappaport on Twitter, the Ravens plan to sign veteran wide receiver Dez Bryant to the practice squad if his workout goes well and he passes a physical, a source said. Baltimore previously worked out Bryant in August, so this is more of a check-in. That was from Ian Rappaport. Tony, is Dez Bryant going to make a big difference for the Ravens?
I don't know. I mean, he's only on the practice squad at this point, so he would have to advance past that point to have any impact at all. But I guess it all depends on what he has left. He's been out of the game for, what, 2 years?
Since 2017. His last season was 2017.
2017, right.
He and so tried he to missed make a 18. Comeback. Yeah,
he was going to come back with the New Orleans, and was that 19 or 18 he was going to come back? It was 18.
Yeah.
And then he tore his Achilles and then had to miss all of 19. So, listen, I'm pulling for him. I certainly am. You don't want to see a guy end his career the way that Dez's could possibly end. But he's got a shot here. I hope he does well. As far as impact, though, I think it's a question that's unanswered right now.
Yeah, Dez Bryant being on the practice squad, I think that's just a formality until he can get onto the regular active roster.
Maybe so.
But at the same time, I'm not a big fan of bringing these guys back out of nowhere just to put them on the field. I mean, he hasn't played football, like you said, since 2017. So a lot changes in 3 years with someone's body and with the sport and with how it's played. I'd much rather take a chance on one of my practice squad guys other than Dez Bryant and see what they have. Like, take it. Maybe they don't have anyone in the Baltimore Ravens organization that's a practice squad that's worthy of making the active roster, but we already know what Dez Bryant can do, and it's probably going to
take
him.
No,
but I don't think it's going to be any better than what his active career was.
Listen, I mean, his active career, I promise you, is far better than any practice squad player
for
you're
sure.
going to bring up.
For sure.
I'll say this. Generally speaking, football teams do their homework. They don't just sign people on a whim and bring them out. So if they are bringing it back and it is just a mere, what was the word you used in terms of him being
formality?
On the practice squad? Formality. If it's just a mere formality for them, that means they've done their homework and that he will end up being able to contribute in some way. They need somebody who can run underneath a little bit. I mean, they got Hollywood Brown who could stretch the field, but you need somebody to run those intermediate routes, and if he can do it and gain some separation, which was one of the issues towards the end of his tenure at Dallas, he wasn't able to get that separation. But if he's able to do that, that's going to help Lamar Jackson, who is struggling right now in terms of throwing the football accurately.
Yes, Lamar Jackson is. And by the way, if you're a practice god player with no more than 2 years.
Practice god player? What is that?
I don't know. I was trying to move past the squad mispronunciation. They're going to make a minimum of $8,400 per week this year. And anyone who practice squad player with more than two seasons will make $12,000 a week in 2020. So, that doesn't really have anything to do with the question here, but at the same time...
But it's very scraby of you.
It's very scraby of me. I don't know. I'm in this mood of retreads and how I don't like them, so I'm going to keep with my retread mood and say that I don't like this move. I mean, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. Okay.
You don't. You literally don't know that.
I don't, but I have a good feeling. I feel it in my bones.
Okay. Yeah, in your bones.
Yes. Number four. Just like I felt Raisin 7 in my bones.
Yeah. You're wavering on after game one.
Yeah, but I'm back in. Remember, they won game two.
Oh, that's right. You jumped back in. That's
but
right.
Then they're paper thin, so I'm out. So. Some baseball writers think they have seen the future of the World Series, and it's at a neutral site. So I've seen a few opinion pieces written about how great it is the World Series has been played in a warm weather city. They made the point in their articles that Minneapolis is not going to get above 35 degrees in the next week. So if the Twins were to make it to the World Series in any normal year, they'd be playing in Minnesota and it would be snowing during the game. And they were saying that was enough for them to call in Major League Baseball to make a neutral site permanent. So I'm up first. Would you like to see the World Series become a neutral site? Absolutely not. I do not want to see that happen. That's the best thing about the World Series is allowing the fans to take over a game. And there's a lot of World Series that probably would not have been won as easily by teams if they weren't being played in their home park. And this is just an outlier. I do not like that companies are trying to use COVID to change everything. And I'm not a fan of this neutral site idea. What do you think, Tony?
I think it's a stupid idea. I don't like it at all. Of course, if Minnesota got in, it would be cold. But they haven't got in quite some time. So I think we worry about things that we should actually worry about. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we had a team in Alaska, they won. Yes, it'd be kind of cold during this time of year. But yeah. It's not the case. I personally love the idea of teams having to play games in a visiting park, games in their home park. Those fans are familiar with it, with their team. And I personally just think it works way better than that being a neutral site. I mean, you don't play 162 games to earn home field advantage, especially now that we're not deciding it via the All-Star game, because that was bogus for a long time, too.
I actually like that, randomly.
I like the idea of teams having to go in a an opposing stadium, try to find a way to get a win, and then having to travel back home and having their home crowd behind them. That to me makes the playoffs what the playoffs is.
Yeah, and not to mention that each team wants people to be spending money at their concessions in their home stadium during the World Series. I mean, you can't take that money out of the pocket unless you're going to share it with them. But we all know baseball doesn't really like to share money.
No, they don't.
Number three.
The 2020 Masters will finally be played after being postponed earlier in the year, and it's going to be played in November. Well, this time, though, they're going to have to deal with some... they may have to deal with some last-minute field changes due to COVID-19. Our guy Phil Mickelson made some news this week after he said he wasn't going to play in the Houston Open the week before because they're allowing fans. Here is Phil Mickelson explaining his thoughts.
I think that they will do a very good, safe job in having 2,000 people at the Houston Open. However, for me personally, I don't like the risk that having that happen the week before the Masters. I just feel like the week before the Masters, like that's a big tournament we have, and I just don't want to have any risk. I don't want to take any unnecessary risk. I don't go out to dinner. I don't go out and socialize because I want to make sure that I have an opportunity to compete in the Masters.
So that was Phil Mickelson saying why he is not going to compete. Tony, would you play in the Houston Open if you had a Masters spot?
No. I think Phil is spot on here. Like, there's risk. Whether you want... And no matter how you feel about COVID-19, right? You know that how the PGA Tour feels about it. And if you somehow get a positive test, I mean, this might be one of Phil's last couple opportunities to really compete at a high level in the Masters. And if I'm him, I'm not willing to blow that to go play in a warm-up tournament either. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so I don't know if he's catching heat for this, but he certainly –
He shouldn't.
I think he's playing it right. You know, his ultimate goal is to play in the Masters and be competitive. If he doesn't even give himself a shot for some reason because he comes down with COVID, because the tournament prior to that is allowing fans, then, I mean, what's the point at that for him? So, listen, I agree with his mindset on this one. Stay healthy for the Masters and let it fly then.
I agree with you. I agree with Phil. I think that he's smart in making his decision. I think the PGA Tour is putting the players into a really difficult position to have to decide whether or not they want to play this tournament or if they want to play in the Masters, because why? I don't understand why the PGA Tour is willing to open it up to fans after having most of the year go so well. After they, you know, when they first got back started, we had a few tests positive here and there, but for the most part, the PGA Tour has done a really great job with keeping their golfers on the course. I don't understand why you want to change the formula a week before the Masters. I know you're trying to make extra money, and each one of these tournaments, they're their own businesses, and so it's not like the PGA Tour is putting money behind every one of these tournaments. Those tournaments make their own money. Those tournaments are the ones that have to pay out the purse. So it's really weird for me to think that they're going to mess with their field knowing that the Masters is coming up. And I really hope I don't see any of the big name golfers get COVID and have to not go to the Masters because of it. And who knows, they might not even have anyone waiting in the wings to be able to play because they have to keep testing and all of that stuff that goes into participating in a sport in the COVID world. So I don't know. Yeah. PGA Tour making a bad decision here, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. They added this tournament late?
No.
You said they changed the formula. What do you mean by that?
Well, the formula of not having fans. They haven't had fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if anything, why wouldn't you wait till like the Masters to allow fans in at that point?
Yeah, or just not.
Or just don't
just not have fans. Again, I know that they want money, but what is, in the long run, is 2,000 fans a day worth infecting a professional golfer with COVID? And that's the big issue.
Which is what's driving eyeballs to watch it on TV in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Like, if for some reason Tiger pulls out, worst case scenario, Tiger gets it, Justin Thomas gets it.
What are we watching then?
Who's tuning in at that point?
Not many people are going to be tuning in for that because no one wants to see. What year was it? It was Jordan Spieth melted down, and there's Danny Willett was the winner. No one wants to see a bunch of, no offense to Danny Willett if he's listening, no one wants to see a bunch of Danny Willetts playing the Masters. They want to see the big names. So
right.
I don't know about this. I don't know. Not very happy about it, but whatever.
Number two.
Last night, Blake Snell pitched a great game, going 4 2/3 innings of no-hit ball for the Rays, but he did not get the win. The pitcher who won was reliever Nick Anderson, who only pitched 1 1/3 innings. So, I'm up first. Does baseball need to rethink a qualification for a win? We talked about this before the show. It makes no sense to me that some guy could go out there and throw 4 2/3 innings of no-hit baseball, but he's not qualified for the win. And a guy who comes in right after him and gets maybe three people out and he carries over to the next inning, he gets the win. I don't get it. And I think they could change this. I mean, we're in a world of fantasy sports stats. So I think the pitchers would definitely go for this. Wouldn't you think that a starting pitcher would be okay with this, getting the win after like three innings?
Three innings. I think you got to go a little more than three innings.
What's it now? Five now.
I do see your point. Like, Blake Snell goes out. He pitches 4 2/3. He comes out, got into a little bit of trouble. Anderson comes in, goes 1 1/3, and he gets the win. It's one of those things that baseball does that you just don't have a good answer for. It doesn't make any sense at all, right? Because the starter's got to go five in order to even qualify for a win. And he has to be, his team either has to have the lead or have taken the lead in the bottom half of the inning in order to qualify for a win. Yet, if you only go 4 2/3 and another guy comes in, finishes your inning and goes an inning more,
that's brutal.
He gets the win. Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and there are no good answers for it. I think you asked me if pitchers would be okay with it. Well, the current pitchers would be okay with it. I don't know about like guys like Greg Maddux and those guys who accumulated I mean, how many wins would they have been eligible for?
That's true.
They could have come out the game after four innings and been eligible for a win.
Didn't even think about the history part of the game. That's where baseball gets a little muddy, is because...
That's exactly. And when you change big-time rules like that, oh, man.
That changes history.
It would make our show great, because there'd be a lot of debating going on in terms of the fairness of it. But you just hope it's a slippery slope. But it is one of those questions that nobody has a good answer for.
What about, like, just having a fan vote for whoever gets the win, you know? What? Why not do that? It's better than a pitcher. No, Tony says just no. Straight face. Straight face, no.
Number one.
Call, search this so-and-such number, and press 4 if you want this picture.
Yeah.
Press 5
well,
if you,
you
want
know, we
this
do have
picture.
Something called Twitter these days. I don't think we're calling a 1-800
number. Have you seen MLB work their Twitter?
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah, I don't know if they I don't know if they got the right people up there working.
They would
Twitter
be putting
now.
Up a poll asking something completely different, and no one would know what they're talking about. As we've been talking about, we're leading up to Thursday night football between the Eagles and the Giants, and the NFC East is just a mess right now. It's a dumpster fire, as Alvin Gentry would say. The Eagles are 1-4-1, and the Giants are 1-5. Now the Cowboys are like 2-3 or 2-4, and you have the Redskins. Oh my gosh, I call them the Redskins. The Washington Football Team 1-5. So my question for you, Tony, is should one team in that division is going to make the playoffs no matter what, and we have an expanded playoff for the NFL this year. Should a team under 500 be eligible for the playoffs in the NFL?
If they win their division, yes. There's no way.
At 6-10?
At 6-10. If their division is that bad and they win, they've earned the right. They are representing the whatever division that they're coming from. In this case, it would be the NFC East. However, they won't benefit any more than just that. Like, the rest of the teams will have no shot at the expanded playoff. And whoever that 2 seed is feeling pretty good about
playing the 7.
Off against them. Playing
well, I guess,
the 7 seed.
No, I guess they would be the 4 seed if they win their division.
Oh, that's right, because you win a division. That's right. You're 100% right. That's the part that they need to change.
So that goes, like, down to the 7.
Just because you win a division, if you are terrible and you win a division, you shouldn't automatically get the one of the top spots because you won your division. Your division was trash that year, so you should have to slide into to the accordant spot.
Yeah, I agree. It should be going. It should be. Well, I don't agree.
It should be. It should be held to division standards unless the division is very poor. Like, you should have to keep up with the rest of the divisions in terms of getting a top 4 seed.
I agree with that. Yeah, you need to do something about it, because I have a feeling that one of these teams is going to make the playoffs under 500 this year, and it's ugly. It's ugly. No one wants to see a losing team in the playoffs.
I feel like the last 2 years we waited to the very last week 17 to figure out who was going to represent the NFC East, because they've been that brutal.
Yeah, the NFC East has been brutal for years and years, and the New York Giants won the Super Bowl, I think. I know for the first one, when they beat the Patriots when they were undefeated, they were 9-7.
They were 9-7.
And they were the 6th seed. And
well, we do need to say that this goes in ebbs and flows, right? Because there was a time where the NFC East was like the division to mess with.
But it's always the NFC West now. So, you know, 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals.
The Niners don't represent well, though, when they get to the big dance.
That was a low blow.
That's not really
true. They've won 5 Super Bowls. They've won 5.
I caught myself, man. What have you done for me lately?
That's always how it goes, huh?
Oh, should we get our Vegas question in real quick?
Actually, you know what? Traffic just popped in. I'm sorry. I just told you. Let's go traffic real quick, and then we'll do Vegas.
Traffic is sponsored by SDG&E. It's wildfire season. If there's a public safety power shutoff, SDG&E wants you to stay informed. Download the new PSPS app alerts by SDG&E from the iOS App Store or the Google Play Store today. Well, the crash has cleared northbound 15 at El Cajon Boulevard. In the North County, northbound 15 at Camino del Norte, an accident is blocking the fast lane. Sponsored by San Diego County Register of Voters, urging you to act early if you need to cast your ballot in person. Early voting has begun at the registrar's office and will continue from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Vote safer, San Diego. Learn more at sdvote.com. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right. We need to get to our question. Scrabe, I totally forgot what we decided on for our question.
The question is, what did Tony think was taking place tonight that is actually not taking place tonight?
Ah, yes. Bonehead decision by myself. Anyway, you get to answer. You can qualify for the Gwen and Chris Vegas vacation. All you have to do is answer that specific question. Yeah. Got the Giants Eagles coming up here in about 6 minutes on 97.3 The Fan. God help you if you are having to watch that game tonight. You know what? Are we talking all this trash about it? It could turn out to be an exciting game.
Sometimes ultimately, the worst matchups are the best games. And yeah, I'm hoping that is the case tonight, because I always watch the Thursday football game no matter what.
Yeah, I do too. Are they going to do like the NFL Crush uniforms again? Like, were they the Color Rush joints?
No, I think they got rid of that a few years ago after they went red and green, and then all the colorblind people were like, I can't see who's playing on the field. So they went away from that. They went away from that.
I remember that. I do like those uniforms. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of our show today. Scrappy and I will be back tomorrow, Friday. What do we got tomorrow?
Got game three of the World Series.
Game three of the World Series. Yes,
a couple of UFC fights over the weekend, some boxing going on as well.
We're going to try to get some guests on to talk about both of those big events that are taking place over the weekend. But once again, appreciate you guys joining us. Hope you had a good time listening. We'll be back again, same time, 3 o'clock, except we have 4 hours tomorrow, 3 to 7. So in the words of Chris Ello, enjoy your night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good sports Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.